So in this session, we're going to continue our fellowship, right, concerning the practice of the God-ordained way applied to college students. And I just like to follow the brothers who have been speaking. Actually, even from last night, we saw that in Sardis, right, they had a name that was living, but in reality, they were dead. Lord Jesus, Lord, we don't want to be dead. Make us living. And so the way to be living, we saw this week, is that we need to be revived, right? We need to be revived, especially in the mornings. And if you were reading in the outline last night, there was a certain phrase, right? The phrase was that in order to be living, I mean, in order to be vital, we needed to be living and active, right? And so when we are before the Lord in the morning, getting revived, you know, actually, that kind of revival produces something, produces a feeling for man. You know, in our experience with the Lord, it is normal, right, to have a heart for man after we touch the Lord, right? Because this matter of Christ and the church goes hand in hand. If we are truly revived, we spontaneously have a heart for man. Because we touch the God who desires all men to be saved and come to the full knowledge of the truth. Right? And so, we saw that was actually the first message on this line, right? That we needed to have a heart for man. And that just comes from us being revived each and every day. And then afterwards, right, when we become vital, what's the second step? We have to find another vital companion, right? We need to get together. We need to form a vital group. And actually on the college campuses, we have this terminology, a nucleus, right? You could call it a nucleus. You could call it a vital group. You could call it student coronation. Basically, it means that we're coming together, right? We need to come together. There's a divine spiritual principle, and that is, the Christian life is not meant for us to run individually. We can't go on our own. We need the saints. We need the companions for us to go on in the strong way. And so we have this burden, right, that you know, although on one hand this week has been very enjoyable, but we like to give you some practical handles for you to take home with you in all your respective college campuses and wherever you are. And so, actually, the brothers who covered the matter of the nucleus mentioned the need for prayer, right? So I feel like the message has been covered already, but I just like to add a few things, right? When we come together, right, as a vital group, what do, right? I think actually some of the saints shared, you know, when we come together, at first, we're not sure what to do. Well, actually, it's very simple. Not complicated at all. When we come together, we need to pray. And we need to pray for one another. Yes, you know, the student coronation, the vital group, you know, we're on that campus, and the goal is to preach the gospel, is to bear fruit. But we need to remember that we're members one of another, right? And this fruit bearing is actually in the body. And so there's a life relationship with the person next to you, right, with the other member. So actually, Paul already mentioned this verse. He gave us this verse in John 15. How about we turn to that again? There's this beautiful picture in John 15 about fruit-bearing in the body. And I just want to point this out to you all. Maybe some of you have heard it before, but for the hopes this will be fresh to you. This is always fresh to me. This is such a beautiful picture. This is John 15, right, verses 12 to 17. So we saw in verse 16. Actually, how about this? Let's read this all together. Let's alternate. Brothers, how about you read verse 12 and then sisters, verse 13, and then we'll stop at 17. So brothers, John 15, 12. This is sisters.
One has greater love than this, that one lay
Amen. So I don't know what your feeling is when you read these verses. Of course, you might focus in on verse 16, right? That we've been set to go forth and bear fruit, right? As branches in the vine. This is what we need to do. But what strikes me is actually the first verse in verse 12 and then the last verse in verse 17. They're kind of two bookends of this section. It says what? This is my commandment, that you love one another. It seems like the Lord wanted to remind us that we need to love one another. So in this portion, there's actually three words, right? And this is all in the footnotes, but the three words important are nature, condition, and goal, right? So as the branches, right, in the vine tree, we all have a particular nature, right? And that is spiritual. And so when we come together, you know, when we come together, we need to have a spiritual nature in our coming together, right? If we just come together and we're always talking about, you know, sports, we're talking about even, you know, our education and things like that, then there's something lacking, right? If we're just gossiping, there's something that's not spiritual, right? So when we come together in the twos and the threes, there needs to be a spiritual atmosphere, right? But then there's also a condition, a certain condition, and that is of love, right? You know, when the brothers would come together, the brothers I get with, we need to love one another, right? We need to be concerned for one another. How are you doing, right? Even though you might be really busy with your club on campus, you know, we shouldn't just come together and get straight to business, right? We should ask. Actually, sometimes we need to practice to learn. Brother, how are you doing today, right? And then when you get asked that, you know, sometimes we're very closed, right? We just say, fine, even though things are not fine, right? We don't like to be open to one another. But if we are open to one another, we have this matter of mutuality, then the Lord's love could come in when we pray for one another. And then there's this certain goal, right? It's not just good enough to come together, pray for one another, tell each other our problems, and that's it, right? The goal is to bear fruit, right? So actually, you need these three things in your vital group, in your nucleus, in your student coordination. These three things all matter very much. You know, I was really touched by even Paul's own consideration of this, and that, you know, in Philippians 2, 25, some of you are familiar with this verse. You know, he calls Epaphroditus, right, my brother, my fellow worker, and my soldier, right? And so in Paul's view, Epaphroditus, to him, was a brother first, right? What that means is that we have a life relationship with one another. You know, when we come together, we're not mercenaries, right? We're not on the campus, you know, preaching the gospel, doing our own thing, and not caring for one another. No, we're brothers first, right? The sisters are your sisters, right? Actually, your female brothers. But anyway, the point is, we're brothers. We have the same life, right? We have the same nature. We have the same father. We need to care for one another, right? Many of you have siblings, right? We love our siblings. We love our brothers and sisters. In the same way, we need to have that love, right, for one another when we're on the campuses. And this is very important. And so, coming together, right, as a vital group, we need to pray for one another. But then we also, we also have the need, right, to pray for fruit bearing. Right, to have coordination. Right, this word actually came out in the last session, and maybe some of you don't know what exactly is coordination. Right, this thought comes from Ezekiel. You have the picture of the four living creatures. Maybe we could turn to Ezekiel chapter 1 real quickly. Ezekiel chapter 1. And then maybe I like to have a demonstration here. So how about you four brothers? Maybe you guys could put your books down. You probably have done this before in the past, but you're all going to be the four living creatures today. Okay, so you need to be joined together. You know how to do this, right? Yeah, you've done this before. Amen. Okay. So these brothers, right, they're an example of the four living creatures. They have the appearance of a man, right? And then they're joined together by wings, okay? And these wings actually signify God as our strength, as our grace, as our power, okay? So they're joined together. And if you look at these verses, they have a particular movement or the way that they move. In verse 12, it says, each went straight forward wherever the Spirit was to go. They went, they did not turn as they went. So, you know, when the four living creatures moved, right, they moved in one direction, okay? So, Ben, how about you move forward? Okay, thank you. You notice, when Ben was moving forward, what happened? Two brothers had to walk on their side, right? And then one brother has to walk backwards, right? So how do you know when to move, who's going to move forward? Well, you need to look at the verse. It says, wherever the Spirit was to go, right? So how do you know where the Spirit is going? You need to pray. You need to pray desperately. Lord, where are you leading, right? On our campus, where are you taking us? What about this new one? Lord, what should we do? Oh, what should we consider in our Bible study, right? We need to pray to follow the leading of the Spirit, right? And then when we pray, you know what happens? We just follow the leading of the Spirit. And sometimes we might need to walk sideways because maybe the Spirit's leading was not our initial feeling, right? And then maybe, like Samuel, you need to walk backwards because it was totally against what you initially thought, right? Thank you, brothers. So the point is we need to pray, right? We need to seek the Spirit's leading, right? And then when we do, we need to move together in a coordinated way. I don't have any more time to spend on this, but if you look at these footnotes, you'll see a lot of this matter of coordination, right? Moving in a coordinated way. By these the four living creatures. You know, another good picture of this is found in Exodus chapter 26 on the matter of the boards of the tabernacle, right? You know, the standing boards in the tabernacle, they are only 1.5 cubits long, which means that as members of the body, we're not complete by ourselves, right? We need to be standing with another member, right, in order to be built up together. And then when they touch one another, you know, the boards of the tabernacle is gold overlaid with acacia wood, right? And so when we touch one another, it's something divine, right? Because gold signifies the divine nature of God, right? The four living creatures, they were joined by wings, right? And I mentioned it was the grace of God, right? The power of God, the strength of God. And then the boards of the tabernacle, they're joined by something divine, right? So when we come together, another reason why we need to pray is because when we're not in our spirit, we're very natural. We're full of opinions. We have our own preferences. We can't even get along with one another, right? This is why we need to strive to turn to our spirit. And the best way when we come together is to pray. Pray ourselves into the Spirit. And actually when we pray, you know what happens? There's a bar, the golden bar that passes through the boards of the tabernacle. And if you look at those verses along with Ephesians 4, right? Being diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit, right? Being diligent to keep the oneness through the uniting bar of peace, right? That's just the Spirit that passes through. So when we pray, you know what happens? The Spirit comes and crosses out our natural preferences, our natural opinions, right? All these old things, right? And so that we could really stand with one another in a good way. And so this is why we need to pray, right? We need to pray so that we could be coordinated with one another. And so now I'd just like to also give you all some basic principles concerning prayer. And that is, you know, sometimes we pray and pray, and it seems like the Lord is not answering our prayers. Why is that? Okay. First of all, these points all helped me in the past and are still helping me today. The first principle of prayer, basic principle of prayer, is that we need to be specific, right? We need to be very specific in our prayers. And I'll give you verse references for each point. The reference for this point is Matthew 7:7-8, right? This is about, and these verses talk about asking, right? Seeking, and then knocking, right? When we knock, the door is open to you. Actually, knocking, when you knock on a door, you're right up against the door, right? This is something that is very close, very specific, right? Asking and seeking might be far away, but knocking is, you know, you're right there, knocking at the door. This is something very specific. So when we pray, we need to pray specific prayers, right? Lord, bring this new one this Wednesday, right, to the welcome dinner. When we pray specifically, then the Lord can answer our prayers in that way. The second point is that we need to pray not amiss. This is found in James 4:3. What that means is when we pray, we're not praying evilly for our own pleasures. Sometimes we pray, Lord, help me do well on this exam that I didn't study for, right? This is praying amiss, right? If you didn't study for that exam, don't think the Lord is going to grant you a miracle and give you an A, right? This is totally on the wrong track, right? So we can't pray amiss. Third is the third point or third principle is that when we pray, we need to pray with a clean conscience, right? We need to confess our sins. In Psalms 66:18, it says, "If I regarded iniquity in my heart, the Lord did not hear." What that means is if there's something on our conscience that we didn't deal with, right, the Lord will not listen to our prayers, right? So, you know, we're all burdened for our friends. We're burdened for our classmates. When we pray, we need to make sure that we have nothing in our conscience, right, before God and before man. So that's the third point. The fourth one is that we need to believe when we pray. That sounds very simple and obvious, but sometimes when we pray in a way, you know, Lord, you know, if you want, save my friend, right? That's not believing, right? When we pray, and this is from Mark 11:24, right? When we pray, we need to pray in a word, in a way that we believe, we have faith that the Lord will answer my prayer, right? And this way, your prayers will be answered. And then finally, we need to pray in perseverance, right? In Luke 18, there is a parable of the persistent woman who kept on praying, right, for her matters. And then in Colossians 4:2, right, it says, persevere in prayer, right? Even in the face of the adversary, right? Something is against us. We need to persevere in our prayers. And so these five principles hopefully can help us in our prayer life before the Lord. Okay. And then in closing, I just want to mention that, you know, we need to come together just like in 2 Timothy 2:22. That's the one of the reference verses in, for this message, is that there is a need for us to realize, and I mentioned this in the beginning, but I really feel like this is the burden. We need to come together and pursue with all those. Right? In 2 Timothy, he says, but flee youthful lusts, right? And pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with all those. Oh, brothers and sisters, now our burden is that all of you will go on in a strong way, right? In your college campuses, in this beginning of the new semester. But I really hope you see, right, that you need to pursue. First of all, okay, you need to flee, but you need to pursue. But with what? With all those. Those two words really were fresh to me. All those, with all those. You need to pursue love with all those. You need to pursue righteousness with all those. You need even to pursue the gospel with all those, right? You really need to come together to pray for one another and to pray for the gospel. But I also want to add one thing is, you know, sometimes, you know, we have a concept that, you know, well, you know, there's no one else on my campus. So maybe that's your situation, right? And so there's no other college student. I can't go on this campus. That's a thought from the enemy, right? You have to realize that we're all members in the body. And the Lord has placed us. You know, our situation, your situation might be different from the person you're sitting next to, right? And so you need to seek the fellowship that's in the body, right? Maybe you are the only one on your campus, but there are other saints nearby, right? That you could pray with, right? That you could pursue the truth with. And then maybe you are in a campus that's full of other college students that, you know, that are also in this room, right? You also need to come together, and we need to drop our preferences, right? Sometimes, you know, our soul life, our preferences really hinder the building of the church. You know, we think, oh, this brother, he's from a different background, different upbringing. We have nothing in common. I can't pray with this brother. You know, when you have these kind of thoughts, then the Lord cannot move, and the Lord cannot bring you all and build you all up together, right? Actually, in the verses in John, I was struck by this, that it says that after verse 12, it says, no one has greater love than this, that one lays down his life for his friends. And this life is actually the soul life, right? And is talking about the Lord Jesus, you know, when he laid down his life, right? That was the greatest love. But it also can be applied to us, you know. If we really say we love one another, then we will lay down our soul life, you know. It doesn't matter my preferences. I love you, brother. Let's pray together, right? We really need to lay down our soul life when we come together. You know, this is actually spiritual foot washing. I don't know if you know the significance of this. You know, sometimes, you know, when we're on our campuses, you know, it's not that we do anything sinful, but it's just that, you know, it's the world, right? Our foot, spiritually speaking, becomes dirty, right? And so there's a need for us when we come together to wash one another's feet. And that is actually a declaration of love, right? Brothers, I love you. When we come together, I wash your feet. You know, by how? By praying, right? Denying your soul life. Maybe you don't feel like praying. Maybe you don't have the freshness, right? But when we deny ourselves and we start praying, we start fanning one another's spirits into flame. That is loving one another, right? So I hope you all have a desire to go on in this way, right? Not having preferences, not having opinions about who you could be built up with, but just finding, right? Finding that brother or finding that sister, right? To be companions by praying together. Okay, so actually, we also want to give some time for some of the students who have, I think you know who you are, that have some experience about praying together. How about you start coming up now to save time? We felt like, you know, it's good to hear the experiences of your peers, right? And so I really hope that you all could share just your experience from the past year or couple years about this matter.
So, yeah, I've really enjoyed praying recently. 2 years ago, I was at this college training, and they were talking about bearing fruit, and I was an upcoming freshman, and everyone was telling me that, you know, I'm at Georgia State. I go to Atlanta, or I'm in Atlanta, and so it's about an hour away from here. But I was at this college training, and everyone was just saying, you know, the upcoming freshmen have the perfect opportunity. You're going to bear all this fruit, you know. And I was excited, you know. I'm going to go into college, you know, bring people into the church life. But looking back at the past 2 years, I don't know if I've, you know, done any of that, you know. I don't know why, but I think it's mainly because I've just lacked a consistent prayer time with someone, you know. And even at my campus, we there were brothers there, and we were always together, but we would never pray. You know, it was kind of just an atmosphere of, I don't know, just cutting up and having fun. So, I don't know, they all graduated, and I was at my campus, and I was just like, wow, you know, I don't know what to do, because I'm just at this campus, I haven't, you know, sown any seeds, you know, so I was just kind of like, I have no idea what to do. So, anyway, there's a brother who lives pretty close to me. He's, I don't know, he's about 10 years older than me, FTTA grad. And so, I mean, like he was saying, there wasn't really much that we had in common. He's a different background and everything. But we decided to pray for our campus because really that was the only thing left that I could do, was pray with him. So once a week we would just get together and pray for, you know, new ones for our campus or whatever. And it was, I don't know, it was really a supply. I don't know how to describe it, but I don't know, every week, you know, I just kind of felt like encouraged, because previously I was just by myself, you know, not knowing what to do. And even like Shepherd shared, I don't know, when you're praying with someone, it's kind of like the Spirit is just like in your midst. I don't know, I'm not a caring person, and I don't like have a heart for people. So praying for like a campus full of strangers is like, I don't know, it's not, I don't enjoy it, but I don't know. I just had one experience. Me and my companion were praying for the campus, and I don't know, I was just full of feeling, you know. We were praying for just people that I normally don't care about, and, you know, like, I was just like in tears, you know, and I just couldn't help it. Like, I was just, I don't know, I was just, I don't know, so burdened, you know. And I was like, at that moment, I felt like I just, like, that's all I wanted. I just love these people, you know. And I've never once have I had that, you know, praying by myself. And I just feel like that's something really valuable when you pray with someone else, is you kind of, I don't know, you touch God in a way that you can't when you're by yourself. So it's just been a real supply to me, you know, to have a consistent prayer time with someone who's more mature than I am, and, you know, can kind of, I don't know, perfect me in that way.
I have been praying with a sister since the first year that I came into the church life, and we were in the same home meeting for a while, and then she changed home meetings. But anyways, I'm not even sure how it really started, but a lot of the students had a burden for the gospel towards the end of the fall semester, and we were all like away on break, and still this burden was there about the gospel on campus. And so me and this sister, we decided to PSRP the mystery of human life. And so we would call each other, and then we would take like a little small section. It was the extended version, not the short one that we just got passed out. And we would pray read all the verses, and then we would speak it back to each other. And we'd be like, hey, I'm Danielle. And like pretend we were on the campus and kind of role play or something. But anyways, it was just like we were PSRPing through the mystery of human life specifically to speak to people on the gospel. And then we would go out together on Fridays and speak the gospel to people. And once we even went to someone's dorm and we sat down with her and we spent time, and then we just got together with her every single week after that, that sister. But anyway, even after like our PSRPing and pray reading and, being gospel partners and everything, we prayed for each other, like just, you know, personal situation. This sister actually overlapped with me. I had a certificate that was also her major. So we had class together every single semester for a year and a half straight. And one semester we had class together every single day. So 5 days a week. Amen. But anyways, after it was so good because after class, we would go, and it's like because I was seeing her every single day, we had like a little spot we would go to, and we would just pray together, and I would know like, hey, something like, how are you doing today, you know? Because you see them every day, and you pray with them, and you learn their situation and what's going on, and so your burdens just become theirs, and their burdens become yours. But anyways, we still pray together before I came to the college training, but anyway, so that was my experience just pursuing with that other sister and even just being burdened even for fruit bearing with that other sister. And amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I think for myself, I'm going to share more about... amen. I'm from Rutgers, New Jersey, in New Brunswick. Just gonna share some of the hard things, kind of the mistakes that, or the walls that we kind of face. But you know, same as Andrew was sharing. We went back last year, and we were just on fire, and we wanted to go and, you know, preach the gospel. We wanted to like take over the campus, you know, turn it upside down. Yeah. Like, Lord, this is your campus. Praise the Lord. And, you know, at the same time, I said to myself that, you know, oh, I can't go back thinking I want to do all these things. But we need to start with prayer. And so a few of us, just even on the ride back to New Jersey, it's 15 hours, we were just praying a little bit in the car. I remember this. And this actually continued for, I think, about one semester. And at first, we came together, and we had no idea what to do. I remember the first time very clearly. It was very awkward. You know, there were a few sisters there that I had never prayed with, a few brothers that I also have never prayed with. but we started actually by sharing our testimonies. And I thought that time was very sweet. And we just started to get to know each other. We opened up some family situations. One thing I remember very clearly was we started praying for my dad because he had actually been offended by a brother and left the church life. And sometimes, I'll tell you, brothers and sisters, when you come together to pray, it's not always, you know, so exciting and full of, you know, it's not always these super high experiences of prayer. Sometimes you just sense, you know, we have to persevere. You know, today we have to touch the Lord. We have to contact the Lord. We have to exercise our spirit. And I really appreciate it. We were just, as we opened up more and more, we just, you know, in the beginning, we just simply asked, you know, how's your day? How are you doing? We actually went, during our summer break, we just used the video chatting. Yeah. So just over the computer, you know, over the video, I just thought, you know, wow, I actually look forward very much to these times. And then all of a sudden, you know, saints, we have to realize that there's a spiritual warfare. It just stopped. And it, no one said, all right, we're going to stop doing this. It's just something happened. And, yeah, I mean, it's, we try to, yeah, I don't even know what happened. but I really do have this sense from the Lord that we need to pray a lot more, right? Much more than we try to do things. We should pray more because it does more. Actually, my dad is now back in the church life. Maybe it was just maybe 2 weeks ago. So praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I also have many experiences just praying with brothers who, you know, they all of a sudden open up their situation, and I've never experienced anything like that, you know. Maybe he's older than me, and he's, you know, having some family problems, and I just, oh, Lord Jesus, you know, like, I don't have a family. I mean, I have a family, but I don't have children, and I'm not married. But one thing I realize is that you just amen. You just pray for them. You know, they list their friends. You don't know who they are. You just pray for them. You say, Lord Jesus, what about Brian? Amen. You just enter in. You just touch the Spirit. I think that's really important. Yeah. And actually, there's this new brother. If you want to talk about someone who's, you know, completely different from me, he's from Cameroon. He's a grad student. He's engaged. And English is not his first language. He speaks French. And he came in, and at first I was just like, the Lord gave me a feeling, pray with this brother. I was just like, I hardly know him, and, you know, Lord Jesus. But sovereignly, he doesn't have a car, so I gave him a lot of rides. And in the car, he would just say, Lord Jesus, right? Fighting prayers. You just start prayers. And we pray together. And I tell you, it's the sweetest times. The Lord really knows us better than ourselves. So we just need to stay open to the Lord and amen the Lord. So praise the Lord for prayer. May we enter into such a prayer.
Amen. So, like the rest of the brothers here, when I first attended a college training, when I went back to my campus, I go to the University of Maryland in Baltimore County. It's a little smaller school. And when I went there, I had a real strong burden for the campus, like I'm sure all of you have for your campuses. And you just want to gain people for the Lord, gain building materials, build up the body of Christ. And I think my natural personality is I like to do things. So, you know, when I hear all these things, like, I'm going to go preach the gospel, I'm going to go talk to people. But, you know, I think these past few years, the Lord has been really talking to me. Really, even with this one quote, Brother Lee says, he says that, why do we try to do so much when we can accomplish so much more through prayer? And I think that's so true. I mean, I'm sure you guys even noticed it when we went out to preach the gospel. When we prayed, right, together, we got such a better response from them. In my campus, since it's a small campus, we don't have a huge core of students there, and we don't have full-timers, and we, you know, don't have many open homes, but we have saints. And I can't stress that enough. We have brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And that shouldn't be an excuse. Actually, a lot of times I find that Satan likes to put these excuses in our mind why we can't pray. That brother that's sitting next to you, he's 66 years old. He can't understand what you're going through. Or he doesn't know what you're praying about, right? College campuses have changed so much, right? I don't think they had internet back in the day, but now they have internet, right? So, I mean, but really, that's just a lie from the enemy.
Yeah.
And, I could tell you that I have on my phone, you know, I have a list of brothers who I feel very, open, to contact and to pray with. And most of them are not, below the age of 30. They're actually, maybe 30 and above. And, you know, it's this matter of prayer. I think sometimes we get this concept that, okay, we're going to get together, we're going to pray now, right? Mm-hmm. And we're going to set this time on campus, or we're going to set this time during the week, and we have to get all these brothers to come and pray with us together. Mm-hmm. And then when we can't get all those brothers, we just don't pray. It's something like that. But, you know, what I come to realize is that that's actually not how most prayer occurs. It's actually mostly prayers in twos and threes. Actually, if you heard the saints' testimonies right here, actually, most of their prayer didn't actually occur in quote-unquote a meeting setting, right? David had chats over the internet, in prayer in the car. Andrew, he prayed and then the sister, right? She prayed with a sister in a home meeting, right? That she contacted in a home meeting. I've noticed that most of my prayers, the most intimate personal prayers, aren't in a meeting setting. They're actually one-on-one or one with two other brothers. I can testify, even during this college retreat, I've been having a prayer with a brother. It's not formal. We don't have a set time. It's just whenever we come together and we feel that we need to pray for this one, we pray for this one. You know, sometimes we just get too regulated, you know. We get too formal in our setting. And I don't know whether that's because of all the meetings that we have or because we don't know one another that well. But actually, I find the strongest prayers are the ones that you're closest to, right? I was really touched with what Shepherd said. The Lord's commandment at the bookends, right, was that you love one another. When we get to know each other, we become more and more open to each other, and eventually we can pray for one another's needs. And eventually, we can share our burdens for other people and other friends. Just to share this one story concerning this matter of prayer with a friend. We've been praying. I've been praying with this brother, and we've been praying for his family situation. Not all of his members in the family are saved, and one time, you know, we were just driving, so we just came back from, I don't know, some meeting or something, and we were eating out like brothers usually do. And we came back, and, you know, even the car ride, at first it didn't even come up. We were just talking about normal things, you know. Hey, how's school going? You know, why are you doing so bad in this class? Or, you know, and eventually, you know, we were just talking about family, and then he just opened up to you, you know. It wasn't anything regulated. It wasn't anything that, okay, now, each brother here, open up what you have burden for. Rather, it just came from within. It was very spontaneous from the Lord. And we, immediately, you know, we just had a sense, we need to pray. So we turned off the we were listening to a CD. We turned off the CD. I drove slower. And we just prayed to the Lord that his family would get saved, all of his family. And I'd just like to say one more thing that concerning that is that sometimes we pray and we expect immediate results. You know, we say, Lord Jesus, save this brother. Bring this brother to the meeting this Saturday. And the brother doesn't show up. And we're like, Lord, what happened? I thought I prayed this, right? We expect immediate results. But that's not how the Lord works. You know, in the matter of this prayer in twos and threes, this also comes in, you know, it's always with shepherding, right? We pray for one another. We shepherd one another, right? Actually, I appreciate from the summer training, a brother said that actually a lot of times when we try to shepherd people, we're like a, you know, a self-help book. Or we try to fix each other's problems, right? Oh, you have a problem with this? Okay, let's this and that. Okay, we fix it. But really, how we really shepherd people is we shepherd them under the throne. We shepherd them to the throne of God. Amen. And then God, who knows each one of us better than we know ourselves, he shepherds us.
Amen.
So in our prayer, right, I was really touched. We pray more that we would be open, you know, that when we gain these ones, you know, they wouldn't just be those that just come regularly to the meeting and live a meeting life. Rather, there would be those who would remain in the Lord and remain in the church life.
Amen.
So, I mean, this is not a practice. Don't take our testimonies and feel like, okay, now we have to start praying in cars. But just, you know, realize that this is something organic of the Lord. Amen. And it's something spontaneous and can only be built up through love. And I just encourage all of you. I'm a senior now. I think David's a senior. You're a junior. And are you a Oh, you just graduated, right?
I just graduated.
We learned a lot from our college years. And, you know, we hope that our experiences would help you, you younger ones especially, who are just freshmen, to not make the same mistakes that we made, to not put such a undervalue on this matter of prayer. Right. Mm-hmm. And I hope that also you go to the prayer meetings, because those is really how the Lord moves. Amen. Oh, really quick. So I find that, for me, the two most important meetings throughout the week are the Lord's table meeting, because that's what the Lord has started, and that's what he told us to continue. And the second most is the prayer meeting. That's the second most important meeting of the week. And why is that? Because that's how the Lord moves.
Amen.
And I find that that meeting, for the most part, is where Satan attacks me the most. For the other meetings, home meetings, you know, college meetings, young people meetings, even Lord's table, I'm pretty open to go to those, right? But somehow, when it comes to the prayer meeting, I just get lazy. And the Lord, and Satan will say, you know, hey, you don't need to go. They have other brothers there, you know. Don't you want to watch TV instead or something like that? And, you know, eventually, sometimes I just don't go because of that. And that's really a shame. And so two verses that really stuck with me that was covered last year was, we've mentioned already, persevere in prayer. Yeah. It's persevering. And the other one is from Colossians from 2 years ago. Epaphras, right? It's always struggling on your behalf in his prayer. These two words, persevere and struggling. It's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to pray. But, you know, we just need to struggle and we need to persevere in prayer.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this wonderful matter.
Amen.
Is it okay if I could add something? We have time.
Yeah. Amen. Just 2 points. Yes, go to the prayer meeting.
Amen.
You want to get out of yourself, saints? Go to the prayer meeting.
Amen.
You want to cooperate with the Lord? Go to the prayer meeting.
Amen.
It's really where you can cooperate with the Lord. You can sense the flow. You can sense His leading. Where He wants you to move. Where He wants you to pray for.
Amen.
And the other thing is that if you really want to be built up with those around you, you have to pray with them.
Right.
If we come together and just share each other our problems, you're just vomiting over each other. If you don't pray, you just leave feeling gross. You have to pray.
Amen.
At a certain point, you're just complaining, and the Lord says, stop. Just pray now.
Right.
Yeah. You just say, amen, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I just wanted to say that when you become vital with someone, it can get to the point, I mean, it might be good to set a time first, but with this sister, we don't even have a time. We'll just talk to each other and like, hey, how are you? Okay, amen. You know, we're talking to each other, and then it's like, it always gets to this point, we should pray. Amen. And then it just comes, you know? Like, she didn't even tell me all that other stuff, and it just comes, and you can just enter right into it because you became vital with that person, you know? So, anyway, okay.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's good to hear testimonies, right, of the saints. And they're pursuing prayer in the twos and threes and pursuing the truth. So, my part is on pursuing the truth in twos and threes. And I didn't want to speak too much about pursuing the truth, but what I really wanted to do was have a little practice session. Danielle alluded to it, that her and her companion would PSRP, the Mystery of Human Life, that helped them to go and preach the gospel. And I feel like a lot of times, you know, we don't know what to say, right? And that's why we don't speak, right? But, you know, so we need the truth. The truth is our cargo. It's a lot of things. It's our cargo. It's our power to carry out the Lord's work. so it's not just information, you know. Just real quickly, truth is, it's the divine reality. You know, and it's revealed in the Word. It's contained in the Word. But it's not absorbed just by reading the Word. You know what I mean? It's because it's really the person of Christ in the Word as the Spirit, right? So this verse that some of you have enjoyed, John 6:63, tells us, the words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. And so there's two Greek words translated for the translated word, English word, you know, and that's logos and rhema. And the logos is just referring to the black and white letters, right? The written word, the constant word. But that's not the word that gives you spirit and life, right? So the word translated, the original Greek word, translated word in John 6:63 is rhema. It's not logos. You know, in John 1:1, the word is logos, you know. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But then the Word became flesh. Praise the Lord. So the Word went through a process, right? So that the Word could get into us to become our life, our food, our supply, right? This is how, and this is what we need to carry out the God-ordained way. This is what we need to be able to pray in the twos and threes and to preach the gospel. So we really need to be loaded up with the truth. There's a verse in Proverbs 23:23. It says, buy truth and sell it not. So that implies there's a price we have to pay, right? In Matthew 24:45, he said, who then is the faithful and prudent slave, right, whom the master has set over his household to give them food at the proper time? Well, it's not that easy to give food, right? You can't just go to the grocery store, buy some groceries, put them on the table, right, and say, here's your food, right? Is that what happens at your house? Probably not, right? Probably someone buys the groceries, brings them home, gets out the recipe, you know, starts cooking, right? Chopping, cutting, blending, mixing, baking, and then there can be food, right? So this is, the ministry is really giving us a wonderful way to prepare the Bible as our food. And that's in this acronym, PSRP. So how many are familiar with this acronym, PSRP, and have done it before? Okay, so there's a fair number. And so first of all, we pray read for enjoyment. So PSRP takes care of all the problems and all the excuses we have for not speaking for the Lord, not being able to give food at the proper time. So we pray read for enjoyment. We study for the understanding. And then we recite, we pick up the utterances in the ministry and in the Word so that we can convey, right, what we have understood and what we have enjoyed. And this is prophesying, right? So, I think we're kind of running behind on time here. But what I wanted to do, even though we only have maybe 8 minutes, we could just do a really quick, brief PSRP session. So, if everyone can grab their gospel tract that was handed to them, The Mystery Human Life, looks like this. Little white gospel tract that was handed out before the meeting started. Basically, because God is sovereign, you're sitting next to somebody, and that will become your PSRP partner for this 10-minute or 8-minute session. Okay? And, what we want to do is, we want to take the first paragraph, the first key, titled God's Plan. And it's okay if there's not, you know, if it doesn't work out for just two, then have a third person in your group. But anyway, we'll just partner up like this real quickly. And I think this will help us. Let's stand so that we can face our partner or partners. And let's exercise our spirit to eat the Word in this paragraph. So let's pray read our way through this paragraph in twos and threes for the next 2 minutes, okay? And I'll stop you when the 2 minutes is up. All right, praise the Lord.